share with you one. We are very, if you're with the DRT group, come on up while I'm talking. We are very external. We try to get outside of ourselves here as a church a lot. We try not to live within these walls because we believe that God calls us to live outside of this place. This is just a gathering place. And so today we want to share with you a trip that we took this last week. I think there was 17. Several of the people couldn't be here today. They're either doing other things, but this is part of the group. They're going to come and they're going to share. Most of you may not even know, but there was a massive flood in Waverly, Tennessee about 8 weeks ago. And we have helped before with this disaster relief team, and we went down there 8 weeks. And so these guys are going to come share what they did. So I'm just going to get out of the way, and you guys, the stage is yours, and then kids will dismiss you just as soon as they're done, okay? So here we go.
Oh, it fits me. Thanks, Wade. This is perfect. I don't have to do anything. I wanted to go last so I could ditto, but that's okay. Chris and I got the privilege of putting together, working with DRT again this year. They're a really cool organization. They've got it all together. So instead of reinventing the wheel, we like to go and jump in with them. They're a really awesome organization. It was a really cool experience, as they always are. I think when we step out and say yes to Jesus, he does really cool things. So I'm super humbled. Cool to see what... Are you living a distracted life? I've been super distracted, super wrapped up in me and things like that I'll say for the last year or so. So it was really awesome. I'm back to crying all the time again. That's really annoying, but whatever. We'll work that out. Anyway, it was just really sweet. I love to be able to work with the people. That's my absolute favorite part, is just to hear everybody's stories, not just like the drama and trauma of the flood, but just who they are and what the Lord has done through all of this. It's humbled me. I needed it after this last year. And just seeing people who don't just want things. It's not a sense of entitlement, but they need it. And they need more than just mucking out the stuff. They need somebody who's just willing just to be there and to listen and to love them. My favorite part of this week was people. We got to work with a really, really awesome crew. You guys are the dream team. Thanks to the guys for when Chris stayed and did... That was a really sweet face. Sorry, I was about to go again. Anyway, Chris stayed and helped with plumbing, and so I had to really take from the guys, because I know zero about construction, and so they're saying all these big words and big things to me, and I have no idea. So thank you for helping with that, because that was really awesome. Like zero grumbling. It was just really cool. It was just like a really sweet time, if you can say that about a nasty flood and a place that's a disaster. It was sweet, and I'm grateful.
I would like to share what I did. I know Brandy said I stayed back and did some plumbing. So what they did, they always have these shower trailers because you're staying in a church, and to have these shower trailers outside. And they got a donation from an Indian reservation in Nebraska for this giant, wasn't really a trailer, it was like a shipping container. It had like 10 showers in it. And it was up there, and it froze, and it got freeze damage, and all the pipes burst and everything. So Vincent and I got to stay back, and I went through and cut out all the freeze damage and repiped that trailer. So it was kind of just to work my son for that whole time. And then it was really cool that everybody came in there, was just so appreciative and just so happy for all of our help. So.
This was my first time going on a trip with the DRT team. And like Brandy said, it was just really just humbling, and it was kind of just like a moment to like reset and think about like your life and what you have, because like there are people that absolutely have nothing, like no pictures, like nothing, and it was just so devastating to see all this. But through all this devastation, there were still people that were just being so kind to us and so sweet. And you know, this one woman, she brought us all cold water bottles, you know, because it was a little warmer that day, and it was just like little things like that, you know, this kind of boosts your morale. And one story that really stuck out to me in particular was Sunday. This lady's house we were working on, her floors were just covered in mud. And she really, really, really wanted to save her hardwood floors. And so Kelsey and I spent hours just like pushing all this mud and dirt that was just like just dust was flying everywhere. But she told us that this woman that lived on her street saw the flood water coming in, and she ran to everybody's houses, like banging on people's doors and telling them to get out. And unfortunately, she passed away in the water. And that story really stuck out to me because she literally put her life to save so many other people. And as particularly we helped, she asked us, you know, to really pray for the state and the county in Tennessee that they would make wise choices and better choices when it comes to like flood protection and stuff like that. It really made me think that, you know, just like this woman, God, he goes out to save all of us. And so that just made me think, like, I need to do that. Like, I need to help save other people and just really focus on others and just give back when I can.
Hi. So I stayed back for, like, the first day, like my dad said, and helped him with the plumbing. And that was fun, I guess. Glad I got my tetanus shot, but yeah, a lot of rusty metal. And then the next day we went to some house and we tore up the floor and I dropped a hammer into the floorboards a lot, and that was pretty fun. Then I fell into it, and yeah, it was a really great time and getting to know everybody here, and yeah.
Hi, this is my first time going to a mission. It makes you, hang on here, I'm getting it together. It makes you count your blessings. I'm thankful for the toilet, no matter what condition it's in. As long as it's inside, I love it. I'm thankful for a roof over my head. This storm, or this water, flooded in less than 10 to 15 minutes. What would you do if everything you had in 10 minutes was gone, including some of your family? That's what we dealt with. I was so thankful to talk to a man named Gene. He tried to tell his wife not to go out and move the car, but you know how wives are. We don't listen to our husbands. That's a wife thing. But she went out to move the car, and he was standing in water over his ankles, and she was outside. And the house is set. I mean, they had a crawl space, so they sat pretty high still. But he had very interesting stories to tell me. He was so thankful that someone with a helicopter came from Nashville. The man was not asked to come. He just brought it upon himself that he knew there was a need, and helped others, rescued people from the flood. Have you ever been afraid when it rains, just a little rain coming down? These people need prayer for a long time from now. They panic when it's time for rain because they think this is going to happen all over again. And all the bad memories and all the losses. There were 20 people that died, including two twins. That was swept from their dad, from their dad's arms. They were 7 months old. Be thankful for your children and pray. Thanks.
I think the word that I kept thinking about over and over in my head as I was there and even now is just overwhelming. Everything was devastation, as you can imagine. It didn't seem like we were even in the United States because it was so overwhelming. There was so much mud and, I don't know, trash from who knows where everywhere that we went. And these people were still in shock. And it's been, I think, 10 weeks now since the flood. But they just wanted to talk about their stories and tell us all the details. And we were more than happy to listen. But I wanted to encourage all of you who are a little bit older that you can do it. You can go on a mission trip and you can contribute, even if it's just a listening ear or encouraging others on the team. Don't discount yourself because of your age. And the first time ever, thanks to Dave Sherfield, I was the oldest one on this trip. So I want you all to think about that. But thank you for your support and your prayers. And let's keep praying for these folks in Tennessee.
It's funny that Brandy was talking about the selfish part. I feel like this last season of my life, I've been a little bit selfish and just thinking about myself and circumstances going on with us. And the second you roll up to somewhere like that, it doesn't seem like it's the United States. It doesn't seem like, you know, the town next door. It's like totally destructed or destruction. And it was just really upsetting to see. And it kind of immediately like stops you like, what am I doing? You almost like beat yourself up a little bit, like immediately, like, what have I been doing? What have I been focusing on? And one of my favorite parts was, first of all, not having to think about myself. I don't think besides going to the bathroom constantly and not having a bathroom, besides trying to find a bathroom all the time, I really don't feel like we were thinking about us. It's going on a mission trip so cool because you totally get to reprioritize a little bit. And it's awesome that you get to do that on a missions trip, but it's also totally, you're able to do that here too. So I've kind of been living on a high from the trip of this is, it's just not about me. And there's other things going on, even Franklin and Whiteland and Greenwood. And so one of my favorite things was I got to reset a little bit and not think about myself and getting to know people that came with us actually. There was some ladies and just people that I hadn't got to talk to a lot, and that's the coolest thing about a missions trip is you really get to know people at, you know, late at night, on the long bus trips, whatever it is. So we just had a really great time, and just keep praying for those people in Waverly.
I think I mostly just wanted to share how grateful I am that I'm part of a church that cares so much about other people. There's just something so incredible about a group of people that are doing what a church is supposed to do. You know, we're supposed to care for our brothers and sisters, even if they're not within our church. If they're outside of our physical church location, they're still the church of Christ and, the body of Christ, I mean to say. And I guess what I'm just trying to say is thank you for encouraging us and for this being something that we can do as a community. And it was just a really incredible experience and opportunity and a great way to bond with other people. You know, I'm fairly new to Impact as a church, and I've been able to help in, you know, technical ways, setting up some of like the streaming things, and it's kind of fun to do something totally different and something a little bit out of your comfort zone. And yeah, I don't know anything about demolition of a house besides the times I've accidentally demolished something in our own house. And so it was really neat to get to learn something and to do something with your brothers and sisters and to care for other people. It's just a really incredible opportunity. So thank you, Impact, for being a part of that and for encouraging all of us and praying for us.
Hi. Well, first I want to thank Brandy and Chris for setting this up. I mean, this is it's a really good opportunity if you ever get a chance to do it. I was kind of impressed on how organized that the church that hosted us was. They had a gym behind their building, and they turned it into a shelter for people to sleep, and then they converted it into an overgrown hub where they, you know, served meals and had clothes and grocery items. I mean, they had a group of ladies there that from the church that made 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, and been doing it since the flood, and they don't have an end in sight, and nobody's complaining. They're all smiles and happy to serve you food. I mean, it's just amazing seeing how the community came together. And it was, you know, it was good to go, be able to go and help them as much as we could.
My husband took what I was going to say about the meals. So this was my first ever mission trip. So I was able to go because they had some light duty stuff, and so I stayed back in the distribution center, which is like the hub. It's like the hub, like, but on steroids times 100. Mm-hmm. It was a very well-oiled machine. I definitely was chatty Cathy. I made some friends. I have some friends on Facebook. Imagine that now from it. But, you know, what I learned, I was talking to the people in the community, and I, you know, there was destruction and sadness, but there was hope. And even, you know, people that were just from the community and not like in a church, they still had hope. And the churches were coming together to help serve the community. And it was just really cool how, like Jason said, it was a very well-oiled machine. These ladies were cooking 3 meals a day for 9 weeks. They were, you know, full and close, and letting people come in the shop, and it was just sad. And the twin, when they talked about the twins, that really touched me, you know, because I can't imagine losing my children to a flood. But God had shown us, like, there was little sunflowers. I went out the second day because I stayed back, and they really wanted us to go to church, but they wanted to work, so I stayed back. I went to church. I was kind of like the ambassador kind of, but then I drove and was taking Jason water, and I saw sunflowers, and everywhere you went, there was like these random sunflowers, and I went back, and I told the pastor of the church, I said, you know, God showed up, even though there was destruction, he showed up, and it's almost like these sunflowers was a reminder that God is still here, and he's with us, and, you know, we just have to remain faithful. But I was very fortunate to go on the trip, and I am blessed that Brandy and Chris put something together like this that, you know, I could go. It was, you know, local, and so, but pray for these people. They have a long ways to go, so thank you.
Wrap up real quick. Elia is here for moral support, but if you could see it, she worked hard tearing out floors. She smashed her finger really bad, and even Jason was like, dude, if I'd have done that, I'd been crying. She took a hammer and a crowbar, and bam, and she's like, oh, huh. And we're all like going, oh. it took a number of Band-Aids and some things to soak all that up. Just everything that was mentioned is absolutely, obviously, right on. And I just would encourage you that if you get a chance, you can Google the walls of Waverly. And they had already pre-existing in this town this really neat art installation in a park that's up a hill. And all these walls are built and they're painted. And Ashley mentioned the sunflowers, and it's tough to look at. There are two new murals in the walls of Waverly. One of the murals is Ryan and Riley, who are the 2 7-month-old twins, and it's a picture of them, and it's very powerful. Another is Lily, and she is a teenager who also was swept away in the floods. One of the final pictures her mother has of her is her standing in a field of sunflowers, and this artist recreated this picture with her arms up and the sunflowers all behind her, and that sort of epitomized the devastation, but also the hope that came out of this tragedy. And we honestly were blessed to be able to go and stand with these people. I had the weird distinction, since Jimmy Buck, Jeff Taylor, Yancey, none of those guys were there, I suddenly was the expert, and that was bizarre. So I was the building guy, and I miss you guys. So Yancey, next one, I need you back. So, all right, but thank you guys for supporting us in that.
Thank you, guys. It is very humbling to go on one of those trips, because you realize that your neighbors are hurting so bad. Let's go ahead and dismiss the kids right now for their class so they can get going. Right after service today, about 5 minutes after, in the former green room in the back, if you have any inkling of going on a trip in the next 2 years with us, we're going to go on some more DRT trips. We're going to go to Jamaica in 2023. If you would like to go, meet in that room. Fundraising starts today. Church pizzas are back for the first time for a year and a half. So if you love our church pizzas, that'll be good for you also. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into our lesson today. Jesus, we thank you for trips like this. We are unapologetic about sharing what you do through us. We know that it's challenging, God, to help all the needs that are around us. But God, let us just continue to pick out the ones you want us to go and be a part of. And God, this morning, as we look at ourselves, may you be just God in our lives, and help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Help us to not be those people that are so distracted that we miss exactly what it is you want to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a series called A Better Way. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 12:1, whatever you have, your app or your hardcore Bible, turn to there. We're in this series, basically what we're trying to do is look at the way Jesus lived, and we're trying to say, let's copy that. Let's be a part of that kind of movement that says we want the truth that Jesus brings, but we also we want to live the way that Jesus lived. And so we've been kind of looking at that the last couple weeks. This is week four, and as we say, there's got to be a better way. And today our question for you is, are you distracted? And you better say yes, because you are. If you're a person and you have blood in your veins, you are distracted. It is so very easy to be distracted. Last week I kept asking you, are you still here? And many times many of you, even though you said yes, you weren't. You were doing something else. You were texting, you were checking something on the internet. You were thinking about something else. You had essentially checked out. And so today, I want to talk about that, but I want to talk about, are you distracted? And so that's the genre that we're going to talk about today. It's a great question to ask, because how do we live with an uncluttered version of the mission of Christ? Because the mission of Christ is very simple, and the church has made it hard, I think, to understand what the mission of Christ is, because we oftentimes act like the church is a cruise ship, and we believe that it's there for our enjoyment, it's there for us to go get pumped up, it's there for us to go get feeling better, it's there for us to be entertained, it's there for us to go, you know, fellowship, and really, the church is a battleship. The church is a battleship. It's not a cruise ship, and we have got to stop treating it like it is a cruise ship. That's one of the reasons we've got our new prayer room over here. And next couple weeks, you're going to be hearing about that. We're calling it the War Room. And we want to encourage you to come and be a part of that, and to come and to pray. And we believe that we're at war. We believe that the church is at war. We believe that there are people that are here today that are being attacked every way possible. The devil is coming after you. And even if it is just through distraction, he's coming after you. Silliest, horrible, hardest story that I've had a long time in my life happened to me this week. I did a funeral. It was a military funeral. There was a police. The guy was a policeman. He was also a fireman. So there's fire trucks. We got the man. We had the service. We put him back to his maker. And I'm riding in the hearse back to the funeral home. And we're going over a railroad track. We come up on a railroad track, and I'm over here, and the funeral director's on this side. And we come to the funeral, to the track, and there's this guy, and he's laying down across the track. And I look down the road, down the thing, and there's a train about a mile away. I'm like, stop the car. And she's like, what? I said, stop the car. And I'm thinking, what is this guy thinking that's sitting there on the thing? And a hearse pulls up, and here this big guy gets out of the car. They're here for me, you know, because I can tell what's going on. This guy, he's a mess, and it is. It's true. He's there. And I've never had this happen in my life. And so I go up, and I start talking to him, and I just want to die. I just want to die. And here I've just put somebody in the ground, literally. And their family is like, oh, I just wish he was here for five more minutes. And here's this young guy. My wife left me. There's nothing more for me. It just went on and on and on. Thankfully, one of those policemen pulled up next to me, and they did a wellness check, and we got him some help. Never been a part of that, but I say that to say this today. We are all so distracted. We get so overwhelmed with the things of life. And even to the point where some of us have thought about not being here anymore, about taking our life. And here this man obviously had things to live for, but didn't think he did. He was distracted. He was deceived. He had been made in a point where I believe the devil had come against him so bad that the only way out of his pain was to kill himself. It's a weird question to think about, you know, today is are you distracted? Because you go, of course I am. Of course I'm distracted. Every one of us here is. And so I want to read a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to try to skip through this because I knew our lesson was going to be shorter today, but I also knew that the guys were going to be talking. And so Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and especially sin that entangles us." You ever been entangled in anything? I think you have. A weird question to ask is that, but maybe you started messing with some things that seem harmless. Maybe you started doing something. Maybe you clicked on a website, and you went to that website, and it's like, uh-oh, and all of a sudden you're entangled in it. Maybe it was a conversation with somebody. You were just lonely, and you just put yourself out there for a second, and all of a sudden you find yourself tangled up. Maybe it's unforgiveness that God is calling you to today, and you're going, no, I don't want to forgive. I want to be mad. I want that sucker to die. You know, you live there. You've been there, some of you. The newsflash for you today is this, church. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to stay stuck. Jesus died on you for you on the cross to give you freedom. To give you freedom while you're here, to not be entangled, to not be so wrapped up in this world that you can't even think about anything else. Galatians 5:1 says it this way, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Maybe you're going today, well, I don't know, I don't think freedom is all it's supposed to be. But can I say this as kindly as I can? It's really hard to follow Jesus with your hands full of stuff. It's really hard to, if you got things, it's awkward. And so that's another kind of distraction where we carry things around and we're going to this and we're doing this and we're serving Jesus and our hands are so full. And we miss out on opportunities. So how do we throw off everything that hinders us, according to Hebrews? Because that's what his suggestion is. Throw off everything that hinders us. That makes me think of the guy Lazarus in the Bible. John chapter 11, 1 through 45. You don't need to turn there. It's a long, involved story. And the story is of Lazarus. And Lazarus has a problem. You know what his problem is? He's dead. He's dead. He's got a big problem. He's dead. And Jesus was supposed to be there to heal him, but he didn't get there. And he gets there, and he says these very important words in verse 39. He says, just roll the stone away. And everybody's going, what the heck, Jesus? Roll the stone away. It's been sealed. It's been done. He's, you know, decomposing. Just let him be. Roll the stone away. Jesus calls him out. Lazarus' problem is solved. But as he comes out, there's another part to that story that oftentimes we don't see. He comes out, and since today is Halloween, you'll appreciate this a little bit. He's kind of looking like a mummy, and he's got all the stuff wrapped around him, and it's entangling him, and he's coming out, and Jesus goes, set him free, because he is free. But he's still carrying this thing out of the grave. He's got his problem was solved. I'm not dead anymore, but he's got another problem. He's entangled with these things that people wrapped around him to keep him preserved. He's wearing his grave clothes. And I want to say to you today, church, some of you have been set free. Most of you have been set free. And some of you are still wearing your grave clothes, and they're entangling you, and they're enveloping you, and they're crushing you, and they're causing you all kinds of trouble. And as he steps out of that tomb with this problem solved, another one immediately comes at him, and that's the Christian life. See, when we come to Jesus, just because we come to Jesus doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Anybody want to say amen? It is not easy being a Christian. But the minute we step out and we say we're free, we've got all these entanglements that go around us. Jesus had given him his new life, but he still was tangled up with these grave clothes. And some of us are today too. So the Bible says in Hebrews, throw off everything. And that's where we stop. And then he says, the next phrase in that in Hebrews is, let us run with perseverance. The race marked out for us. Let's run with perseverance. How do we live such an uncluttered life of God's mission, where we try to keep the main thing the main thing? What is the main thing? The main thing is Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. I came to allow you to tell people who I am and to show them and to take as many people as you can to live in heaven with you forever. And to bring him glory. That's it. There's nothing else. Don't make it hard. It's not the cruise version. It's the battleship version. We have to throw off everything and run with perseverance. There's a thing about perseverance, though. Perseverance is difficult. It's hard. You ever tried to lose weight? Ever try to keep on an exercise regime? Yeah, you ever try to read the Bible consistently? You ever try to pray? You try to do things with your family and be there and be present on a consistent basis? Yes. And those are all hard to persevere in. Verse 11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. But then he goes on, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Trained by what? Perseverance. Pushing through. Perseverance is difficult. No one ever woke up and say, hey, I'd love to live through the pandemic again. That would be great, really great. No. No one ever said, God, please make that coworker that I work with more difficult. Nobody ever said, you know, oh, God, please make my marriage partner harder. Let it just be harder and harder and harder to get along. Never once, not once. So how do we persevere? You remember why you started. Remember why you started. When you're tempted to throw in the towel, when you're tempted to just say, I give up, you got to remember why you started in the first place. And I think the best idea of this is found in the scriptures, where Jesus is about to die on the cross. And here's the rest of my message. I'm going to make it really short and really simple. He's about ready to die. In the final moments, he comes to his God and his maker, and he says, God, let this pass from me. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go through it. And he remembered why he was there. He was getting distracted. He was looking around, and the man part of him was going, it's going to be painful, and this is going to be hard. But he remembered why he did it, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. And he remembered he was doing God's will, not his. And that's what you've got to remember today. You're doing it for God, not for your own will. If you're doing it for your own will, you're going to get hurt and hurt and hurt and re-hurt. The last thing he says in Hebrews 12:1, so here the sermon is very simple, is let us run with perseverance. And then he says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. See, if you go back to that scripture, Hebrews 12:1, it says this. Let's read it all together. I'll read the whole passage together to you. We're told, therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us. What entangles us? Sin. We allow sin into our lives. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Doing what? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of your faith. What is that your eyes are fixed on? What has captured your attention? Well, it's so easy to have everything capture your attention, and then pretty soon you're carrying it with you everywhere you go, and you don't even realize it. It's just going everywhere you go, and it's awkwarder, and it's more awkwarder, and pretty soon the main thing is not the main thing. pretty soon the main thing becomes sometimes the last thing. Don't ask me to do that. And our hearts become hard, and we go, I don't want to even go to church. I don't want to be around people. I don't want to serve anybody. I just want to soothe me. I just want to make me feel better. See, when our eyes are fixed on anything but Jesus, we get distracted, and the main thing is not the main thing. We see a little snippet of a story. Two of Jesus' closest friends come to him, James and John. You know the story. And they come to him, and they got a stupid vision of what Jesus is going to do. They think that Jesus is going to start this big old military campaign and go in and take over and be in charge of Rome and take care of all the people there. And so they have a wrong idea of Jesus. And so they want Jesus, hey, let's get in on that. It's a little bit of a power grab. Let's get in on the thing here that's going on. So they say, Jesus, you've told us you'll do things for us. Would you let us sit on the right hand and the left hand when your kingdom comes? They missed the whole point of what Jesus was there about. It was about them, they thought. They thought it was the cruise ship version. I want comfort. I want to be next to the big boss. I want all the accoutrements and the perfect things that go with being Jesus' peeps. They missed it. They asked Jesus to do that, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do? And they tell him. See, their eyes were not fixed on the wrong thing. And I wonder today if some of you, your eyes are fixed on the wrong thing. Later on, we come to the Last Supper, and Peter and all the disciples are sitting around his feet, and they're all very kumbayash moment. It's, oh, we love you, Jesus, you're incredible. And Jesus says, some of you are going to abandon me. Some of you are going to leave me. Peter goes, not me, never me. Fast forward a little bit, three times. Who are you? Peter got distracted. What was his distraction? I'm going to get hurt. If I know him, they're going to take me. He was fearful. He was fearful that Jesus wouldn't take care of him. Anybody been there? Yes. Peter was too. And this is what's so fascinating about this moment. So Jesus has got these disciples that he's been so close to, these disciples that have lived with him, have seen all these incredible things. And they get down to the wire. And the wire happens. And that all of a sudden, they're not around. And so there has to be some substitutes. Jesus has the cross, and he's carrying it through the city. And guys, it's kind of funny if you ever think about it, but Peter denied him. So Peter's off in the corner sniveling, and they get another Simon. They get another, and he carries the cross. Somebody had to stand in for Peter. It should have been Peter. I want you to see it should have been Peter. He said, I'll never abandon you. I'll be right by your side. I'll carry a cross. Replacement Peter, Simon the Cyrene. It all turned their backs on him. So here's the Son of God dying alone. Where did James and John want to be? At his right and his left. Remember where he was on the cross? Who was on his side? Two thieves. Should have been James and John. We want to be on your right and your left. Why weren't they there? They were distracted. They were distracted. Isn't that a weird, weird thing to think about? Three people that were close to Jesus as anybody in the world. And then you and I have to sit here this morning and go, if they had that kind of trouble, I understand why I have that kind of trouble. I understand that why I say, Jesus, forget you. I understand why I say, Jesus, where are you? I understand when I have so many doubts. But doesn't make it right. No wonder we have a hard time keeping the main thing the main thing. The one thing that we actually have the advantage over these three guys is we know how the story ends. We know that Jesus is victorious. We know that he not only goes to the cross and he dies, but he rises from the dead. And he does that for us. James, John, and Peter, they didn't know that. They didn't have that in their pocket. It was just a pause. It was just a pause that they were put on, and they're waiting there, and it's really life and death for them. But here's what's beautiful about that. Here's what's beautiful about everything that I just told you. Peter, James, and John were the three people who were in charge of leading the initial church. Don't forget that. And they started a movement that we're still part of today. And they took that message throughout the world, even though they were a bunch of screw-ups. Even though they were so distracted that we said, we'll let you die by yourself. They didn't say that, but essentially their actions kind of did that. And so I tell you today, church, there's hope for you because you're a screw-up. I tell you that today, church, because you're a screw-up. I'm a screw-up. And there's hope for us. So how do we live in a world and keep the main thing, and stay on mission? We have to do some work. The Bible says we have to throw off some things. So today, for our ministry time, in just a minute, and the band comes here in just a second. In fact, band, just come on up. I want you to think about, what is it that God is calling you to throw off? Maybe there's something right now. You know what it is. You know what's got you distracted. What do you need to throw off today? Maybe you're here today and you're thinking about leaving your spouse. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking about, you know, I've been praying for my spouse or this person and nothing good is happening. And I can think of that in several instances in our church today. I can think of several people that I know that are out there praying hard for their loved ones. And you may be doubting. And I want to say to you today, go back to the way that you started and you came to Jesus, that love that you had, that you knew that he had for you, and say, that's what got me into this, and that's what's going to keep me in this. I'm going to persevere no matter what. I'm going to stay the course. No matter what, even in those moments when we take our eyes off of Jesus, even in those moments where we get distracted and we look over here and we look over there, I'm telling you, we are all looking to so many places that God is asking you not to. You are spending so much time on Facebook and Instagram putting out your feelings and your thoughts and whatever you do, you're putting it out there. And what if you put that into persevering and running the race and keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus instead of fixing the country, instead of fixing, you know, I'm not saying we don't need to do that, but I'm just saying there's people laying on railroad tracks that nobody is seeing. There's people that are dying and go to hell today that nobody said, Jesus loves you. And he wants to be the Lord and the Savior and the boss of your life. I read Hebrews 12:1 one more time. Therefore, Impact Christian Church and everybody watching at home, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Who are they? All the people that have gone before us. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. How do we live an uncluttered life? We do those three things, and we repeat, and we repeat, and we stay the course, and we repeat, and we repeat. Let's pray. Father, it is it's a privilege to open up your word and to share it with our church. Father, I pray that today that you would, through your Holy Spirit, that you will prick some consciences, that you will get some folks, God, that are through your Holy Spirit, that are just maybe just blah, maybe just sitting here today going, I'm not sure why I'm even in church. Why did I come today? I pray that you'll meet them. I pray, Father, for some repentance here today. If there's some people here that have lived a life that's so distracted, it's so about, I'm going to retire, we got to move here, we're going to do this, we got to get this money, we got to get that, we've got to do this, God, and we've made this life about us. In essence, we're just like James and John. Let us sit at your right and left. I want to sit on your right and left, Jesus, but I don't want to do anything you ask me to do because it's too hard. It's too hard. I don't want to persevere. God, help us to persevere. Help us to fix our eyes on you, on the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. I pray that you'll use this time just very judiciously, God, that it'll be an incredible time of revival and renewal in somebody's life here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the lights go out, and you stand up, if you would, with me, and the band's getting ready to play. There's somebody in the back that'll be glad to pray with you today. Next week, we're going to go to the war room. But we want you to, we want to see what God wants to do in you. Be open to this. You know, I said it's really hard to follow Jesus with your hands full. What I'd like you to do is just take your hands and put them out in front of you, right there, right like this, and just put them out there symbolically and see what God would put in your head, what he would put in your spirit this morning. What is it that you can catch that Jesus might be saying to you today, to the church? Let's go to God and see what happens.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in, when death was arrested and my life begins. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance, when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over.
is over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you.
We're free, everybody. Let's sing it. Oh, we're free.
Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yeah, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested in my life.
Let's sing it again.
Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free. Forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
Go share that news this week. Are you distracted? Yes, you are. Can you do something about it? Yes, you can. Through the Lord, you can. Have a seat, would you? We're going to close our service today with two things. We want to have a little bit of a dedication service, so come on and bring the Ice Ice Baby twins up. I saw them on, they had their Halloween costume last night, and Dalton was an ice cube, and so was Taylor, and then they had the baby. It was Ice Ice Baby. So... sorry, that's the Ice Ice Baby. We're going to have a baby dedication. We love baby dedications here at Impact Christian Church. It's a wonderful thing. Family, come on up. Anybody that's taking pictures, get to the place where you're taking pictures. And let's do the ooh and ah real quick. Everybody, ooh, ah. Now do a real one, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Ah. Beautiful, beautiful life. It is a great honor and distinction to be a part of these kids' lives. I've been a part of this one since she kind of came out of her mom, so I've known her a long time. And this one over here, I've been a part of their marriage, and it's nice to be here. It's nice to be in this place. So we're going to, what we do is we always encourage you guys to be involved in this, and so I'm going to ask you to repeat some things after us. Whitney, our youth pastor, is going to be doing the major part of the dedication. I've got a couple parts to it, and then when we're done, we'll pray, and then we'll do our news, and then we'll let you go. You're like, do we ever get out of here today? Yes, yes, you do. Here we go. Whitney, take off.
Isaiah 44:3 says, I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Today, we stand on that promise that God will pour out his blessings.
Taylor and Dalton, we stand before you today to dedicate your child as witness by your church, your family, and your friends. I believe you desire a godly upbringing for Levi. That's why you're here. And so I have a question to you. Do you promise, now think about this, do you promise to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And you say, we do. All right, God bless you.
We come to dedicate Levi Dalton Kratz, asking the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon them. We ask the Spirit to grant Levi an ask you to send angels to protect Levi and for the Holy Spirit to teach him, to guide him. May Jesus always be his best friend. May Levi be just like Jesus and increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Levi's life.
Amen. Amen. Now you guys don't get off so easy either because you're part of the church. And so here's your part. Now to Impact Christian Church, I say to you, do you promise to help this child grow up to be in a Christian environment? And all of you should say, with God's help, we will. Ready? One, two, three.
With God's help, we will.
Don't forget. Don't forget. Okay? So I now ask you this question. Do you promise to pray for Levi and stand with these parents as they raise their son? And you will say, we will with God's help. You ready?
We will with God's help.
All right. Levi, I now anoint you. the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Numbers 6:24-25 says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We have a special gift for Levi, a Bible. Thank you. His first Bible, that's from all of you, so thank you for that. So we love you and we are so glad you guys are here today.
All right, thank you so much. Let's give him a nice big hand. Anything you guys want to say?
Thank you.
All right, all right. So I'm going to tell them to go on out in the foyer. Now, why don't you go stand in the back, and then on your way out, just say hello to them and congratulations and that kind of thing, okay? So guys, going out, family, so glad you were all part of this. Let's do the news as we speak, and then we're going to